Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Mosier continue their discussion on the Schmalkald Articles on Section 3, Article 12 on the Church, but today they look at an Old Testament passage and its application. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Mosier.
All right.
I almost said I'm Pastor Jason Goodham. I almost just finished just your sentence today.
It around.
Yep. That wouldn't have been good.
You're eager.
I'm eager. Ready to go today.
That's
it's a good text. Jesus.
You got your Canadiano. You're ready to roll.
I did. Four shots of espresso. And
iced.
Here we are.
Yes. All right. So we are, as is our custom, into our Bible study episodes. And we realized we've never looked at Genesis 12 on our podcast.
And I called this last week.
Yeah.
Yep. And both of these ideas are basically from you, which I'm mildly ashamed.
I was going to say that's got to bother you way more than anybody's
really
going to really know.
Mildly ashamed.
Aren't we all, though?
Yes.
I think a little bit of explanation how this connects. We're really decided to do the Bible studies leaning into the concept of what holiness actually is.
Mm-hmm.
For the episodes on the church, go back to our third article of the Creed episodes and the small catechism arc and all of the relevant articles in the Augsburg Confession. We'll lay that out. But I think, I think it was a genius move by Adam that the focus of this is what actual holiness looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a pretty untapped discussion topic on this podcast, and it works out well.
Yeah. Yep, great. Yeah,
so, I think you just said genius move in relationship to me, which hasn't happened ever.
But
put a pin in this, Adam. And
I got an Americano. What are you?
I do want to clarify. I did not say you are a genius. I said it was a genius move. So it's entirely temporal in nature, and it might be an aberration.
Probably would be. Yeah. Brett?
All right. Yeah. So we are, as we continue this series on the Schmalkald Articles, 3.12, Article 3.12. And today we're looking at Genesis 12, 1 through 4. And I'm going to read this in Jesus' name, and we get to talk about it here. So Genesis 12, 1 through 4 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Here ends the reading of God's word.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. So we're talking about the call of Abram, and I'm going to do my best to not say Abraham in this.
Go for it. Say Abraham. Can I get a dumb image out of my head right away?
No.
Yeah, because Abraham was 75 and he departed on a long journey. Do you think the left blinker on his camel was just on the whole time? Sorry. I had to get that image out of my...
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Anywho.
Anywho. Oh. We were talking during our break about Chris Farley and how he was great.
Right.
I'd love to have him read the Bible, like James Earl Jones, who also, since our last recording, has passed away.
Yep. Right.
And so, well, you don't like that.
Yeah,
no.
Died.
We'll just say he died.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so he died. And Chris Farley would have been another great one to read the Bible.
Well, and just to stay completely off topic, have I ever told you my business idea that I think would be an absolute moneymaker is that you pay celebrities to record enough text that you can have celebrity voices on your GPS.
Ooh.
And so, like, there's got to be a certain amount of, like words you record where then you can...
Like Chris Walken giving your directions.
Yeah, it would be amazing. Or, like, Morgan Freeman.
You beat me to it. I was going to say the only person anybody would purchase is Morgan Freeman.
Like, they just get, like, a royalty for everyone who subscribes to them. I just think it would be a genius idea to implement. Can you imagine, instead of the Google lady... That you get a celebrity and Chris Farley as like Matt Foley telling you to
turn left.
That's great.
So anyway.
Oh. Yeah, good. Yeah, so we're talking about Abram, the call of Abram, and you know, we're thinking about this idea of holiness here. And so, Jason, maybe make the connection to why this text in context of this article that we're looking at in the Small Called articles.
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to last week's episode, I really encourage you to go back and listen to last week's episode at this point, because they really are serialized, yeah. That this one is a logical outflow.
Not serial killer. That we're not a true crime podcast.
No, yeah. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. That's right.
If Adam and I keep gooping off, this may be a true crime podcast in real time.
Brett finally had enough.
Yeah. Signing off.
Wow.
So the whole concept of holiness, and we talked, you know, Adam, you used the term God mercied us.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Holiness is what God does to us. It is not an imperative to a measured moral performance, which is how we handle holiness today, and especially coming out of, you know, the generic American church. And, you know, we really did compare it to the purity movement of the 90s, and how that holiness is entirely internal and is almost always to our credit. And what better way to give an example of this, and there's several passages, manifold passages.
I was going to say, through
Scripture,
the Old Testament, there's a whole bunch of,
The nature of all of the minor prophets is the topic of the holiness of Israel and how they failed to be set apart from the nations, and how they were supposed to be beacons of light to the nations, and they failed. But this is the call where God calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he sets him apart. God chooses Abraham, and there is no quality within Abraham. Ibrahim.
Yeah.
There's no quality in this unnamed gentleman that would cause us to think that God first evaluated him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you
I want that guy on my team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You look at the nature of the Abrahamic covenant, is what we call it, even though it's the Abrahamic covenant at this point in time.
Touche.
And God gives an instruction, and everything else is on God. And what follows is Abraham's simple act of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't earn it, because God, the promises are all on God's side of the ledger.
Yeah. Yep.
And he goes.
Right. I think that's something that jumps out to me in this text is, you know, I always think of that scene from the movie Courageous. If you've ever seen that
Kirk Cameron? Firefighter movie?
No, that was Courageous was the
fireproof.
Okay. Courageous was the police officer version of that. Same thing.
Same exact movie, different color uniform.
Yeah, but at the end of the movie, there's a scene where they're talking about, like, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And then they just kind of say over and over again, I will.
Yeah.
But I see this text. And
it's God saying.
Saying over and over again.
I will show you. I will make you. I will bless you.
Right.
I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse. Yeah.
Yeah, and we talked last week about that Luke 19 effect, where, you know, we end up with this performance-based Christianity concluding eventually that God must feel lucky to have us on our side. So, you know, the thing that would have made that movie, the I will, is a cutscene to God in heaven going, yes. Mm. But, I mean, that would implant how ridiculous our commitment is, as if we're doing something to God's benefit.
Yeah.
And there, in the literal text, you know, with Joshua and so on, they do say that. And then, sorry, with Moses. And Moses is like, but you won't.
Well, and Joshua, the Joshua is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And then, and he goes, but you can't do this. Yeah. And Israel is like, no, we will do it. He's like, no, but you totally are going to fail at this. And like, shut up, Joshua, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, but at the same time, they had just heard the sermon from Moses as well.
Yeah.
You know, when you go in a land that isn't yours, and you dwell in houses that you didn't build, and you eat, you know, from
fields that you didn't plant,
and you drink from, you know, wine that, you know, from vineyards that you didn't plant, then remember that I am the Lord. Like, it's all about how this has nothing to do with their behavior, and God goes like over and above what was necessary to say, this isn't about you.
Right. It's this not about me. Our I will. It's about God's I will.
Yeah. And that's the same picture that you have in Ezekiel when he says that I myself, and it's emphatic, I myself will come and shepherd my people. Yep. You know, and, and you know that whole thing, and then we see the fulfillment of that, of course, in John 10, with you know, which is referenced, I think, in the article, the Shmuel called Article 3.12 that we're looking at.
Yeah, people who hear the voice of the shepherd,
right?
Yeah,
and and it's just you see all of this language that God will, God will, God will, God will, God will, and in the Catholic Church of Luther's day, and I think we could say that the dangers in churches of today too, not just the Catholic Church. Is that through the working of the work, like you said, ex opere operato, you know, the Latin, through the working of the work, you know, just going through those things, that that is somehow a demonstration of holiness. You know, it's the same picture in the Old Testament where they would sit in sackcloth and ashes and pretend to mourn. He's like, shut up. I don't want to hear it anymore. Like, you're sitting there making all of these, you know, pious gestures. I don't want that. That's not what we're looking for. I'm not looking for you to try and climb to me. I came down to you. Now live accordingly.
Yeah, and on top of that, the message is he came to his own people and his own people received him not, right? It's not like we were clamoring for God and we finally he came out for the outcore, you know, the encore, like some like music star or something. Is he came to his own people received him not, and he still came because we need it.
Yeah.
And all of this you have to see in context of Ephesians 2. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, so on, so on, so on, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, made you alive.
Yeah, and that Greek word dead means dead. Like,
deader than
fully
Dornell.
Dead.
Yeah.
Like,
the whole Monty Python, too. I feel happy!
and that's great. I mean, that connects to this text, too, of, like, Abram wasn't anything special that God
he
calls
him
just a guy. He calls out of his country, country, kindred, father's house. He leaves to go to the land that God will show him.
Yeah, and all Abram is in Scripture to this point is he is one of Shem's descendants. Mm-hmm. At this point, however many generations after Shem, he's just, I mean, kind of in the same way that, like, there's a measurable percentage of the world that is a direct descendant of Genghis Khan right now.
I mean, it's like apparently some guy in the Netherlands. I saw Netflix, you know, the guy with 1,000 kids. Anyway.
Well, the other one for Europe, for Europeans, it's Charlemagne. That there's a measurable percentage of Europeans that are direct descendants of Charlemagne.
Well, funny.
And it's like, okay, well, I'm in the direct lineage of, you know, this guy. Well, everyone is because Noah had 3 kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, we're not bragging about that. So, like, you could not communicate any more directly other than saying, like, you know, Genesis 12 verse 0 is, and Abram was just a guy. You know, and no, he's as normal as it gets. Yeah. And not only is he normal, he's 75. You know, he's
old normal.
He's old normal. He's past his prime
past
normal.
Middle age.
You know, well, and I mean, past middle age. Yeah, if he's living to 200 or 180.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But I mean, he's no spring chicken. Mm-hmm. You know, there is everything that happens to Abram to perpetuate the covenant from this time forward is a literal act of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because 100-year-olds don't have babies, even post-flood, right? It's just not the way it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to kind of come back to something I think, Adam, you brought up in the last episode of you were trying to figure out which part of the cart and horse goes which way. And I think this text is one of those that shows the right order of things. And
absolutely.
Riff on that a little.
Well, because it says the Lord will make you a great nation. He will bless you. You know, he'll bless those who bless you, those who dishonor you, I'll curse them, he says, and you'll be blessing the whole earth, you know, all the families of the earth. And then the next words are, so Abraham went.
No, okay.
It's so simple. You know, he went as the Lord had told him. Mm-hmm. And he brought his nephew, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it seems like that was okay. He's like, so he went and did exactly that. There was nothing about, like, he, you know, he wanted to prove himself worthy. So Abraham, proving himself worthy, you know, mounted the camel, and with the blinker, I can't get that out of my head. Thank you very much. You know, hey, come on, nephew, hey, man, Lot. I'm going somewhere.
I've driven
come with
in Florida.
Me. I have a noble quest. No, just that I went. Mm-hmm. You know, he went.
Well, and this is where we would do, I think we should give credit where credit is due to Pastor Phil Haugen for the phrase, we can't, we must, we do.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
To be fair, Pastor Phil Haugen would say he got that from the formula. So yeah, it's like,
But he's the one who articulated that way, and we were all trained under him. And I think that's a great example of what obedience to the gospel looks like. Mm-hmm. We can't believe, we must believe, we do believe, and it's exactly because the Spirit gives us faith.
Yeah.
Abram goes because of the work of the Spirit through the Word of God.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be spelled out for us directly or theologically, because this call to believe is exactly the same call to believe that comes to us from the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, there's that animating of God's Word, the gospel. I don't know if we've talked about this in our podcast, maybe. I can't remember what we said like three episodes ago, but and if we repeat ourselves, it's hopefully you keep learning through that process.
Hopefully
anyway.
Worth it, at least.
Yeah, but I guess I want to ask about the idea of, you know, when we talk about holiness, you know, maybe the expression is gospel motivation or gospel is it? I think it's maybe you, Jason, that kind of have that squinty eye reaction against that well, phrase, but
imagine that, right?
Very descriptive. Yeah.
Lutherans, theologically speaking, we don't worry about motivation in the same way the Calvinists and the Baptists do, because the call is just to do it.
Yeah.
And if you have a bad attitude, do it and then repent of your attitude later. We get a little bit nervous around gospel imperatives because we don't want to insert ourselves into the equation of salvation. What we would have here from a Lutheran theological standpoint is the obedience of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Is that God calls us to faith. And
it's God's work of creating faith through the gospel.
Yep.
And then there's that flow from that.
Even though it hasn't happened yet, there's no distinction between chapter 12 and chapter 15 where Abraham believed God and God credited to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on. Abraham believed God, and so he obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Abraham's obedience is nothing other than the evidence of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to his credit. Had Abraham not gone, God would have either smote him or kept calling, as he did with Moses in the burning bush, or called someone else and we wouldn't know about Abraham.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. But the wonder of this, and especially in the discussion of holiness, is that God's word does what it says it does.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if God calls you holy, you are holy. Right now, you possess that holiness.
It's exactly the same thing. Like, don't be afraid. That, you know, that imperative constantly in the New Testament, like, is an absolution. I've got, like, you don't need to fear. Well, why? Because I took care of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, me doing the work.
Yeah, fear not is an absolution, because the only way for us not to fear in the presence of God is if our sins have been removed.
Yeah.
And that's how that works. And the same thing happens here with Abraham. He is literally, physically, historically set apart because he has been set apart by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the parallel thread through this, is that the physical holiness, the physical set apartness of the Israelites through the Old Testament is a type. And the anti-type is the holiness that is imputed to us in Christ.
Hmm.
And so that God declares us holy, we have Christ's holiness, is that he became sin who knew no sin so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's what's going on here. And this is where, like, the verses like Galatians 4:4, that the fullness of time, God directing and moving all of human history to communicate the one truth of the gospel, that's how we understand it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yep. And we're winding down in this episode here, but before we go, you can't get into Genesis 12 without thinking about, you know, Israel too. I think this passage is often pointed at, but I think you've already kind of started to allude to some of maybe an answer to this question, but when he speaks of a great nation here, it's not necessarily that that piece of land in Israel and so on, and or maybe even the modern day state of Israel, or is it?
It's not, and we're gonna the spoiler alert. We're gonna address that from 1 Peter next week.
So
the nation God makes is the people of the promise. Now, by and large, almost exclusively until the cross, the people of the promise are, in fact, Israelites because they were the direct recipients of the promise. And so, like, what is it, Romans 2?
They received the prophets and
Paul does, to what advantage, or is it Romans 2 or Romans 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there?
Both.
To what advantage do the Jews have? Very much, they have the oracles of God.
That's 9, that's also 2.
Yeah.
You know, both of those passages talk about the promises that God had given. They were stewards of the promise during that time, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so when God here is talking about the offspring, Paul makes sure to apply in Galatians that the offspring is singular and it's Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's where the nation of Israel is a people and is a historic nation chosen by God to point us and prepare us for Christ. Mm. But salvation is only by faith in Christ, and so salvation in the Old Testament did not belong to the Jews by DNA, it belonged to the Jews by faith.
Mm-hmm. And Paul's clear on that.
Yep.
You know, Romans 9 through 11 expound upon that whole reality of it's a child of promise thing, right? And who is the offspring of Abraham? Who are heirs according to the promise? Those who have been baptized into Christ. That's what Galatians says. Yep. You know, the one who is believed, who is baptized into Christ is Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And that promise, again, it has nothing to do with work, but promise by that very nature of the word means it's something God does. So all of this, so that means right now, then, that regardless of our DNA, if we are in Christ, we are Abraham's offspring. We're part of this story by definition, because what Jesus did to make all of us right with him was to rescue us from our sin by his death on the cross and apply that to us by faith. The dead people, right? Fully dead, actually dead people, not just kind of dead-like, but like dead. I made you alive through what I did for you on the cross. You know, that whole Ephesians 2, 8, 9, we know, but Ephesians 2, 4, but God. Yep. We were dead, except God. He came in, and he did something about it. And that the whole story from start to finish is we are part of God's people now. We, who are not DNA related to Abraham, are very much spiritually related to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. The same promise that was made to him is made to us.
Yep.
And all of that assurance of what God was going to do about blessing and giving his good gifts, those are our good gifts now. And that's not to say anything, you know, negative or disparaging against the nation of Israel, but we have to be careful to recognize that Scripture, the promises are given to those who are in Christ.
And so the outcome of that then, because we're talking about the church, right, is that by and large, the people of the promise in the Old Testament were the Israelites. The people of the promise in the New Testament are the church. But what that means is that the people of the promise in the Old Testament also are the church. This isn't a replacement. This isn't a God changing directions.
Thanks for saying
it's that. It's
that
the people of the promise were always, only, and ever the church.
Yeah, which is why I hate the word replacement theology. Yeah. You know, it's not replacement. It's a continuation of the very thing God had been promising since this very passage.
Yep. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the Small Call articles. If you would like more information on the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.